First and foremost, I would like to give all praise and honor to the God Most High for allowing me the opportunity to be here this morning to speak before you all. And I would just like to say you all look good this morning. If you would, please bow your head with me for a word of prayer. Dear most gracious and loving God, we thank you for this time we have together as brothers and sisters. Lord, let us never take this time for granted, this time of fellowship, this time of worship that we have, this opportunity to praise and glorify you, to lift holy hands and our voices unto you, Lord. We thank you for all those things that you have pulled us through this week, and we pray now as that we study your word that we will yet be edified and enrich our lives even further and strengthen our walk with you so that as we leave this place, but never your presence, we may share your light with the world. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been on many journeys this summer. I've been to the camp at Prairie Haines. I've had a journey to Oklahoma for the mission trip. And then we had the VBS, which felt like a journey, even though it was here. And then I just recently came from a family reunion from Georgia, and we drove some 18 hours. And driving 18 hours with a child in the car will definitely teach you patience. Driving 18 hours with three children in the car teaches you something I don't know what to call. But we had an enjoyable experience, an enjoyable time there, and an enjoyable time coming back. And this morning, I would like to bring you to the reminder that tonight, after evening worship service, we will have a youth meeting speaking to all the things that we have done this year, speaking to the things that we want to do this upcoming year and with the rest of this year, and to any concerns, issues, thoughts, ideas that you may have tonight. And that'll be in the fellowship hall after worship tonight. Our children are very important. It's been said almost to the point of cliche, but our children are the future. It's true. It doesn't cease to be true. They are the generation that will carry this light of Southside, the light of Christ at this congregation after we are gone. And with that being said, it is paramount that we do all that we can to instill in them the values of God, to instill in them the morals of Christianity, to guide their way when they may want to wane or falter. And this morning, I want to speak on a series entitled The Way of the Warrior. This, in turn, as by chance, it happens to also be the theme to our mission trip that we went on this year. This sermon will also include some of the highlights of the mission trip that we went on this year. So it serves a dual purpose. You will see in some of the pictures in the slides some of the mighty works and tremendous deeds that your children have taken part of this summer as they sought to proclaim the name of Christ. Once upon a time, there was an old farmer who had worked his crops for many years. One day, his horse ran away, and upon hearing the news, his neighbor came to visit. Such bad luck, they said sympathetically. Maybe, replied the farmer. The next morning, the horse returned, bringing it with it three other wild horses. Wonderful, how wonderful, the neighbors exclaimed. Maybe, replied the farmer. The following day, his son tried to ride one of the untamed horses and was thrown and broke his leg. The neighbors again came to offer their sympathy of this misfortune and said, we're sorry. Maybe, answered the farmer. The next day, military officials came to the village to draft young men into the army. Seeing that the son's leg was broken, they passed him by. The neighbors congratulated the farmer on how well things had turned out. And he replied, maybe. I say this to say that life comes in many different ways, with many different outcomes that we cannot foresee. And if we take each task trusting in the Lord, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe bad, but we should see God in all things. appreciate him. The Way of the Warrior was inspired to me by a series of studies that I was reading. And today we want to speak on the warrior being able to own defeat. The warrior owns defeat. Genesis chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. We're going to start up in verse number 8. The Bible reads, Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life." When it comes to our walk as Christians, we are going to face many trials and temptations of many kinds. And amongst the situations that we encounter, many a times we will have to face defeat. But defeat is not the end. Defeat isn't the end of our story. And as Adam and Eve were trusted with a task to not partake of the tree, they had a choice to make. They were defeated in that choice that they partook of that tree. But that was not the end of their story. The warrior knows that honor is not found in the victory, but that honor is found in nobility of the battle. The battle is not worthy of the warrior's life. There is no honor in the victory. Our children this year partook in a mission trip up to Oklahoma City. And we faced many trials of many kinds. And things came our way, circumstances. And so we could sit there like Adam did, and we could make excuses, but there was a work that needed to be done. And when the time came for our children to do it, they stepped up. And the picture that you see before you are, our children are at a food pantry, which was in Oklahoma City, and they partook of assisting a food pantry where they gave their time and their hours to help those who are less fortunate than themselves. Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. There's much to do, there's much work, all right? The song said, there's much to do, there's work on every hand. And as we encountered this work, our kids didn't make excuses. Our kids took the work head on, and one of those projects was at the Oklahoma City Food Bank, where they provided some 16,000 pounds of food over the course of the week that we were there. It was very impressive. We were accompanied by other groups that helped us out as well. But our children took on the work. They didn't gripe. They didn't complain. They took on the task that needed to be had, and they did so in a way that I felt glorified Christ to the fullest. On top of that, we realized that, as the previous slide stated, We realized that the warrior knows that honor is not found in the victory, but honor is found in the nobility. There's a lot of times where we feel like we won, okay? But if there's no nobility, if there's no true work, if there's no love being shown in the work when it comes to Christ, all right? If we use the word warrior today synonymous with being a Christian, if we're just going out doing things for the sake of doing things, there's no true honor being brought to Jesus in that. But if we're showing the love of Christ in what we do, as our children sought to do in the work that they did, then Christ can be shown all the more. Now, when it comes to defeat, the warrior never claims victory for themselves, but only for others. In the same way, the warrior never gives blame for defeat, but owns it for themselves. The warrior owns defeat, therefore defeat never owns the warrior. When you can take claim of the defeat that goes on. For many of those families that have to go to those food banks, it's a hard life for them. Many of them feel defeated, but many of them wake up every morning to go take on those food banks until they can get their life to a place where they don't need it anymore because they've decided to not let defeat own them. And as Christian brothers and sisters, as we go through life and we face defeat of many kinds, it's not over until you stop getting up. And so when we're out there, we should constantly show the world how powerful our God is. This slideshow does not want to work. All right, Colossians. Whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. Okay? When it comes to the work that we do, we should try to be as thoughtful and as steadfast as we can. And we shouldn't try to play the blame game. The warrior doesn't try to play the blame game. Our children, this slideshow is not working. I had some pictures that I wanted to show. All right, here they come. Sometimes technology doesn't want to work with you. All right, but we'll continue anyway. All right, so when it comes to the blame game, a lot of times we go through life when we face defeat and we want to blame others for our misfortunes. We want to go forward telling others that I did this because this happened. I experienced this because this happened. This is not my fault because this happened. And if we're owning defeat, we take the responsibility of saying it was us. All right. So put to death, therefore, the what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, all right? Evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. Don't use these vices. Don't use these sinful enticements to say, it's not my fault for what I've done. As you go out to proclaim God's word, as you go out to show Christ's light, as our children did on this mission trip, we can't make excuses for why the work isn't being done. We can't make excuses to why we aren't showing him in our life. We can't say, like Adam, it's this woman's fault. And like Eve, it's this serpent's fault. We need to own our faults and press forward for the higher calling. If we've had missteps and misfortunes, take them in stride. Learn from those things, but don't dwell in those things. Go therefore forward saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but I'm better for it now because you brought me through it. Here we are at with an organization called Autism OKC, all right? And what happens here is that children from all over the city of Oklahoma who have autism come to this facility in the summertime because they put on a camp. It's called the Swanky Art Camp, and what they do is provide a therapy service where the kids and the adults who have autism are able to draw and somehow get therapy and counseling and help, even though they may be in some degree struggling with autism, okay? So you may have seen some of our children since they've been back wearing these shirts. The puzzle piece is at least as far as I know, kind of now become a universal sign of autism awareness. And one of the things that struck me when I was there as I spoke to one of these people is that they said, I don't see my autism as a weakness. See that it is something that is me. And I, in turn, saw that they accepted the card that they were dealt. They didn't blame saying that, God, why do I have this autism? God, why do I have to struggle every day? And you can speak to our kids here. Most of them seemed happier than most of the people that I walk and talk to every day. And you can see the enjoyment on a lot of their faces. You can see our kids interacting with them there. You can see Dominique Kennedy and Ariana Moore sitting down with them, because what they did, they assigned each of our children an adult to work with, because some of them had struggles with fine motor skills, and some of them had problems with interpreting directions. And so what our children were responsible for doing was, in turn, helping them to make sure that they carried out the instructions correctly, and then, number two, that they were being safe. But they answered to the call, and I want to say that our kids probably got more out of this than the people that were there for the camp. Here's some of the artwork that they provided. They blessed us with a picture that's now hanging in my office, but some of the artwork there was very, very impressive, okay? So we talked about honor. We talked about defeat. But what we ultimately have to do once all this takes place is take responsibility, because all of this is for naught if we don't take responsibility. The warrior takes complete responsibility while never holding tightly to anything, because the warrior lives with open hands. Nothing can be taken from them. The warrior is free from things and therefore free to enjoy all things. He's not holding on to his vices. He's not holding on to small rewards. His hands are open to help anyone. And so, as it's been demonstrated to me, if your hands are tight, nobody can put anything in there. But once you open your hands, all the blessings can then come forward. And those blessings aren't always monetary. We were able to bless those children and adults' lives at that camp, and they were able to bless our children. And so responsibility is something that is going to be a key factor in any Christian's life as we walk this warrior's path of Christianity, fighting onward for Christ, all right? As we have our helmet, as we have our shield, the breastplate of righteousness, okay? As we have our sword and we are out there fighting this battle, we need to be responsible not only for ourselves, but for one another. And when we see someone fall, we need to take that opportunity to say, what can I do to help? Mark chapter 12, verse 29. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 12. Verses 29 through 31. And the Bible reads, the most important one, answered Jesus, and this is when they were speaking to, what's the most important command? In this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as you love yourself. One of the excuses is for negating to do the work a lot of times is because we've got so much going on. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just a little too busy. What day is it that you needed that help? Saturday. Well, oh, yeah, that's the day I'm doing something. Oh, well, I can also use your help on Friday. Oh, I'm doing something on Friday, too. Okay, if you would have asked on Tuesday, I could have helped you. Oh, I could use your help on Tuesday. Oh, you remember I just got a thing? I'm not going to be helping on Tuesday either, all right? And I'm making fun of it, but we do this in sorts because we feel inconvenienced by the work, and our comfortableness becomes an idol to us because we like to relax, and we feel that we're owed this because we've worked all week long, but the work is plentiful and the workers are few. And if we won't do it, who will? Here we are. We tried to give back on every forefront. Okay, we gave back one to individuals, to people, all right, by working with Autism OKC, and then we tried to give back to community. Here you see our children working with a group called the Refuge Organization, and what they're doing is they're going into the city, and they were trying to clean up an area. This trash dumpster had become overfilled. We had picked up a few pieces of trash and dumped it in there, and there you see two of our kids trying to smush it down. And they had organized some type of system to where they got things going, and they ended up working that out all right. We also worked at the Luther Church of Christ, where we provided a two-day VBS for the kids out there, and it was an inner-city community VBS. And our kids will tell you, when we first showed up there, it was something different. They literally meet in a room that's half this size that doubles as their food pantry. So already picture it's not as big as this, so just half. And then of that half, only half of it was usable because the other half was stocked with food and clothes and all these sorts of things. And so they invite families from the community to come out and participate in this VBS to kind of proclaim Christ's name to this community. And our kids performed puppets plays and played games with the kids here. And it really turned out, in my opinion, very good. All right? In conclusion, the warrior trusts God, all right? And he doesn't abdicate his responsibilities. He doesn't look to say, how can I get out of this? A lot of times we like to take the easy road, all right? But he trusts in God, realizing that only if that God is the focal point can I succeed at the work that I'm trying to do. Philippians teaches us that all things are possible through Christ. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so when we have Christ as the focal point for what we do, it's a lot more fulfilling, and the work then, as it should be, becomes bigger than one individual. When we make the work inadvertently about us, then once we face defeat, we're ready to let go of the responsibility because it's about us. So once we become inconvenienced, once we become tired, once we become hurt, once we become frustrated, I don't want to do this anymore. And so if we want to continue, we have to find a way to keep God first. Now, we said we focused on community and we focused on individuals. But the verse that we read says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so in order to balance things out, we hit 3 points, community, individuals, other individuals, and self. Here you see the kids studying. We had scheduled quiet time every day, where the kids would read verses throughout the Bible. We would have a devotional, and they would break into different groups and try to find spaces to where they could just study, okay? Here you see our very own Megan Lee. I don't want to embarrass her too much, but she was in the study. She didn't know I took the picture, all right? And so what our children were doing was trying to make sure before they go out to help someone else that they're as strong as possible. And that brings me to my last point. What good are you to someone else if you got troubles going on in your own life? All right? If you're all shaken up, if you're all stirred up, if you don't have Christ as the focus of your own life, how then can you in turn show someone how they should follow Christ? And so we need to make sure that we are advently studying, that we are advently praying, and that we are advently doing all that we can in order to succeed in showing Christ to the world. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. We often get in the notion of saying, what will I get from this? What will I see in this? What will this do for me? And the work of a Christian is to put self aside and realize that our lives are not our own. They were paid for with a great price. And to live a life in contradiction to that sacrifice is to turn our back inadvertently on God and say, I know what you did, but I got to worry about me right now. One of the greatest things, and I'm going to close here, one of the greatest things that I feel come from work like this is because that we show up here on Sunday and we show up here on Wednesday, which is great. But in the entirety of a week, that equates to less than 5%. So if we only engage in our spirituality, if we only engage with Christ on Sundays and Wednesdays, we seek to really have any sort of relationship with Christ at all. And Christianity then is reduced to a theory and not principle. Because it sounds good, we amen it, we say that's something we should do, but we go out and do the exact same thing we've done every week. So this provides an opportunity for our children to say, what can I do to help? One of the most reassuring feelings, at least for me, is when you're in Walmart and you're walking around and you're looking for a particular item and you can't find it. Then you see one of those blue vests, and on the back it says, how can I help you? Now, sometimes you get a rude person, but when you get that insightful person, and one of the things, I used to work at Costco, one of the things that I love is when they say, let me show you where it's at. Isn't that good? Because I hate when they say, go down to aisle 16 and go all the way to the end, it should be on the bottom. I tried that myself and it didn't work. And then a lot of times you go there equally as frustrated, and then you look and you still don't find it. So when they take you to it, show it to you, let you see where it's at, give you that peace of mind and saying thank you. It really helps. And so when we as Christians, as this world is going about, going down the aisles of life, and they see a Christian wearing the armor of Christ, they essentially say a sign that says, how can I help you? And hopefully we answer the call by saying, let me show you. Let me show you what that looks like. Don't point and pray and put the blame somewhere else. Go down there and say this to somebody and take a left at Old Man Will's farm and you'll find it. No, let me show you the way. Let's sit down. We can have a Bible study. Why don't you just come over to our church? We have a group meeting, a group meal at the end of every worship service. Why don't you just come over to my house? Why? How can I help you in some way? Let's show the work. And then we can wear the smiles on our face that we see our kids having on the back to say, this was at the end of our trip. Because we could almost echo, even though the work to do is far greater than what's in Oklahoma, all right? And what we want to do is make sure we're implementing service even back here at Southside, because there's much to do in Killeen, all right? But they could kind of echo, at least in this week, the words of Paul when he said, I fought a good fight. They did as much work as they could. And our kids put up some 40 hours of work that whole week. That's a work week, right? 42, matter of fact. That's overtime, all right? Time and a half. But they did it with a smile on their face. And there were times where they felt defeated, and they said, Mr. Robert, it's hot. You got us in trash bins. You got us picking up pieces of broken fences. You got us walking all over the place, all right? And we took down an entire picketed fence at a church. And when we came, they asked us, what does your group look like? I said, well, it's about 9 of us. They said, oh, good. And I said, we have 2 guys and the rest are girls. And they said, oh. And I said, well, what does that mean? Well, we may find a different project for you, okay? Because it's pretty physical. And I told our girls that, and they was like, tell them we're ready, all right? And we got there, and they knocked that fence what they anticipated to be about 3 hours. All our kids knocked that fence out in under an hour. And one of the elders at the church where we worked with, he said, well, I'm going to have to go. The sisters had the concern. The older sisters there were saying, oh, that's too much work for young ladies. You should find something else different, something indoors to do. And he said, I'm glad y'all showed them up. And our girls can tell you themselves, I'm going to put Denver Denton on blast. And she was like, no, we want to do this, all right? And it just showed, and they asked, what do you guys got going on at Southside? And I said, man, I don't know. All I can tell you is that we love Jesus, all right? We got problems like anybody else. I didn't want to seem like we just got it all together. But it makes you feel some kind of way when you know that you sent somebody to do something and they got it, right? If you're here today and you've been saying to yourself, Lord, I want to do more. Lord, I can do more. Lord, I need the prayers of my brothers and sisters. Let's not send them somewhere else. Let's not shift the blame game. If Adam had said, Lord, I messed up. If Eve had said, Lord, I messed up. The outcome may have been the same. I don't know. But it would have spoke volumes. I think the story may have even played out different. Well, we own it. Don't sit in defeat. This morning, if you're feeling defeated, if you're feeling taken in any way, it's not failure until you stay on the ground. Get back up. Ask the prayers for your brothers and sisters this morning. If you are desiring to be baptized this morning, you can do that as well as we together stand and sing.